Ringers. Welcome to the BBC's World Cup coverage. Well, we're all still recovering from England's epic win against Colombia. Colombia's players certainly attracted a lot of attention. Two have been snapped up by Premier League clubs and the rest by the World Wrestling Federation. Let's look back to the game on Tuesday now. 23 million people watched the match. 17 million English fans screaming England on. 5 million Scots cheering Colombia on. Gabby Logan was pitch side to speak to the penalty heroes.
I'm here with goalkeeper Jordan Pickford. Jordan, talk us through that save.
It was amazing. I did my research, got my big hand to it. Unbelievable. Now, sorry, I've got to go give a sample.
Standard doping check?
No, DNA. I saved a penalty. No one believes I'm English.
So I'm joined now by Captain Harry Kane. We saw how much it meant to you at the end when you beat the pitch with your fist.
Yeah, obviously delighted, but just want to apologise to the pitch for that, really. Emotions ran high and was well out of order, but we're a new England and, we respect all things in nature, be that a fellow professional or a humble blade of grass, really.
A lot of tough challenges out there from that Colombian team.
Yeah, fair play. You don't know what's behind the aggression. I mean, are they stressed? Were they loved as children? Anyway, as captain of the new nice England team, I just popped a note to them saying we're always there if they want a cuppa and a hug.
Alongside me now is Alex Scott. Alex, it was a feisty game, wasn't it? Can you provide any double standards on that?
Well, the Colombian players were diving, rolling around on the floor and trying to cheat the ref. It's unforgivable.
What about Jordan Henderson going down holding his face and Harry Maguire diving in the box?
That's just the modern game, Gabby.
Excellent stuff. Now we can speak to the England manager, Gareth Southgate, looking as dapper as ever. Gareth, you must be over the moon.
Well, Gabby, I've been hesitant to get ahead of myself all tournament, but I think that now the time has come to say it.
That we can win the World Cup?
No, that I'm a fashion icon. The waistcoat, the designer's double, I'm hot stuff.
And for you especially, Gareth, after your penalty miss at Euro 96, this must feel like redemption.
It does, Gabby, it does. Especially as redemption is the name of my new fragrance.
Thanks very much, Gareth. Now back to you, Gary.
Thanks, Gabby. So, Rio, the question is, can England do it? Because for once, we have a team that we can actually be proud of, and there isn't really anything negative to say.
Absolutely nothing whatsoever. I don't like it, Gary. I'm scared.
Yeah.
Welcome to Newsnight. I'm Kirsty Wark. You've got to hold and give, but do it at the right time. You can be slow or fast, but you must get to the line. More on that story later. Now, the NHS may be 70, but whether it can survive another 70 years is in doubt. A funding crisis, scandals, an ageing population, it's never been under greater threat. To discuss what can be... Oh, well... It seems that joining me now via a kicked-in studio door is Mr. Danny Dyer.
Yeah, that's right. It's me, top geezer, soap opera pub landlord and rightful king of England. I've come to sort out this old NHS thing, ain't I?
And how are you going to do that?
Well, see, the other week I sorted Brexit right out by calling David Cameron a word for a lady's front bum. I got flooded with thanks from a grateful nation, so I'm thinking if I shout a swear word at the NHS, yeah, it's probably going to fix it, isn't it? Now listen here, NHS, sort yourself out, you big arse.
I'm pretty sure that's actually going to have no effect.
Arse! Saying it a second time, very important.
Yeah, but I'm pretty sure that's had no effect whatsoever.
No, according to the Twitter it has. Look, that's already got 4,000 retweets, and it's sorted. You're welcome, babe. Be lucky, latest status and all that.
Hello, you're through to the voicemail of Gareth Southgate. If it's about the waistcoat, try the Debenhams Blue Cross sale.
Gareth Southgate. It is Sven here. Firstly, congratulations on becoming the first manager of England since me to reach a quarter-final. In my day, the squad was hampered by bad behaviour and sex scandals, but I have calmed down now. Good luck against Sweden. I have also wished Sweden good luck, but I meant it more with you. Goodbye.
You're listening to Today with Martha Carney and Nick Robinson here in the studio.
And me, John Humphreys, in a paddling pool in my back garden. Geronimo!
And before the headlines, some breaking news just to hand. Football says it's arrived at the station. Could Mum come in the car and pick it up, please?
After Russia unexpectedly reached the World Cup quarterfinals by beating Spain, President Putin celebrated by releasing the Spanish players' families.
Doctors say there could be as many as 1 million undiagnosed asthmatics in the UK. Telltale signs include wheezing, shortness of breath, and winning the Tour de France.
On Thursday, Southern Rail told passengers that they were unable to travel in or out of London in what's being called a marked improvement on their usual service.
Theresa May is set to introduce guaranteed 3-year tenancies to stop vulnerable people being evicted from their homes. A trial run will begin at number 10 Downing Street.
England finally won a World Cup penalty shootout. Terrific news in the fight against global warming, as presumably that means that hell has finally frozen over.
England's goalkeeper Jordan Pickford was so successful at keeping out the Colombians, Theresa May has just appointed him as a junior Home Office minister.
And what a week it has been for politics. It seemed that the British government was finally at a point to conclude its Brexit negotiations with itself. Theresa May, coming up with a third-way proposal, joins us now from Downing Street.
Yes, that's right, Nick. Option one, as you know, was unacceptable to the Brexiteers. Option two was unacceptable to the Remainers. So I took elements from both to create option three, something unacceptable to everyone. Please, please, please make it stop, Nick. If I could go back, I'd never have wished on that monkey's paw to be Prime Minister.
Yes, in no time, Brexiteers were tearing this new proposal to pieces. The demon headmaster, Jacob Rees-Mogg, joins us now.
We simply cannot accept any fudged soft Brexit in which Theresa May surrenders to the metropolitan elite. I'm standing up for the ordinary chap in the street, whether he be a hedge fund manager, currency speculator, or billionaire tax exile.
Support for the Prime Minister, though, came from an unexpected source.
Yes, that's right. I have demanded an end to our party's infighting. We must be united behind the Prime Minister's compromise Brexit proposal. Otherwise, Theresa will be forced out, and I do not want that.
Why not?
Look, people used to laugh and point at me in the street and say, William Hague, you were the worst Tory leader ever. Do you know what a boost it's been for my self-esteem that now they laugh and point and say I'm only the second worst Tory leader ever? Yeah, get it.
Southgate here. Please leave a message.
Hey, Gareth. Cheryl Fernandez, Vassini, Payne, Cole, Tweedy, Chumba, Wumba, Hubba, Bubba, Chicken, Pick of the Third here. That penalty win, Ray cheered me up after me breakup with that wee lad from One Direction. I want to say, Harry? Oh, I'll never forget our wedding day. We stood at the front. He said, I do. And I jumped and went, bloody hell, I thought you were the page boy. Anyways, the reason I called is I only marry the country's most famous fashionable men. So if you win the World Cup wearing that natty waistcoat, I'm coming for you, big boy. It's no bother. I've got the vicar on a retainer.
We may live on a blue planet, but here, in the middle Pacific Ocean, it's easy to see how millions of tons of plastic waste are poisoning that planet. Ooh, is that a jet ski in shot? I say, it's coming straight towards us.
Oh, that's a Dave Atto. Danny Dyer to the rescue. Drinking straws, your total bellends. I've had about two here with you. And so have the penguins. Get in my pub. Bellends! Sorted, end of. You are welcome, Sir David.
Abyssinia. Oh, what the hell? Bellends! You're all bellends! That was oddly satisfying.
Welcome to The One Show.
Now, as you know, The One Show studio is closed for the World Cup, so we're broadcasting live from my nan's shed because we can't spend a minute apart.
We even share a bed. Top and tail, of course. It's nothing sexual. We don't even have genitals.
I'm smooth like an action man.
Now, here at The One Show, we don't really care about football. We're far more interested in meeting Colchester's oldest dogger. But we've been hit by some terrible news.
Yeah, that's right, Alex. For years, non-football fans have muddled through awkward conversations by using a few choice phrases about how rubbish England are. Phrases like, we'll only lose on penalties.
Or just wait until they play the Germans.
Or isn't Wayne Rooney a spud-faced granny botherer? But now England are actually good. You're all out of luck.
So just for you, we've come up with a few new phrases to get you through this pro-England sentiment. Here's Giles with more.
I haven't got a Scooby what football is. But even I sound like I know what I'm on about with these surefire pro-England soundbites. Phrases like Jordan Henderson's really underrated in the pivot role. I used that one in the Swan and Swastika, and the rough boys didn't give me the usual wedgie so hard. Or this one. This back three system complements our possession-based game. I said that to the bloke who does my skirting boards, and he called me a legend.
Thank you, Giles. And remember, these positive phrases will last you a lifetime.
Or more likely, until you get battered by Sweden on Saturday.
Hello and welcome to Jeremy and Diane's Labour podcast.
For the many streams, not the few.
It is the podcast where we tackle the biggest issues facing Britain today. Bus fares, bus timetables and bus queues.
But not just that, Jeremy.
No. We also ask what noise the bus should make when you press it to stop. A buzz-buzz or a ding.
Jeremy, I thought we'd be talking about Unite members at their conference, voting in favour of a second Brexit referendum.
Oh, Diane, you haven't been taken in by MSM lies as well, have you? The Unite members only voted yes to the possibility of a second referendum.
Which you and your infinite wisdom, Jeremy, have ruled out.
Totally ruled out, because that would mean going against the wishes of Unite members who voted so decisively for holding a second referendum, which I would never allow to take place.
Sorry, you might have lost me, Jeremy.
Look, Diane, it is perfectly simple. I will uphold the wishes of the Unite members not to not hold a second referendum by not agreeing to not not hold a second referendum, which is not taking place.
Brilliant.
Next week on the podcast, we talk about more of the burning issues of the day, as we're joined by Owen Jones with his guitar to learn more about why the wheels on the bus go round and round.
All day long.
Hello, it's me, Sue Barker, Barbie's passive-aggressive mum. Yes, sir. Andy's out. The World Cup's on. Literally no one could give less of a shit about Wimbledon. Apologies once again for Boris Becker swearing earlier. Sure, there'll be no repeat of that when we cross the centre court in a moment for Roger Federer's second round match with our commentators Frankie Boyle, Danny Dyer and Ozzy Osbourne. But first, there has been great disappointment for his fans when Andy Murray pulled out of the tournament. Andy joins me now.
Nice to be here, sir.
You just didn't feel ready to come back physically.
That's right. I've been working hard on my grimace, but it's just not 100%.
Your grimace?
Yeah, the more time I spend out of the game and away from my mother, the more time I find myself smiling. It's terrible.
And Andy, do you think your grimace can ever return to form?
Well, I'm Scottish, so yes. I hope within a few months I'll be back on court looking as miserable as a goth on Love Island.
Andy Murray, thank you.
You're watching BBC News in a couple of minutes. Carol will be here with the weather. I say here, it's just a clip of her saying it's going to be sunny everywhere. We've had it on a loop for the last 3 weeks. The BBC is to take legal action over a leaked clip from the new series of Doctor Who, and the corporation has also now moved to officially release the footage in question.
Listen to me, Ryan, Yasmin and Bradley Walsh, for some reason. Anyway, someone has torn the fabric of space and time. They've created two totally different parallel versions of reality where the same event can have completely opposite outcomes. But who would do something like that? The Daleks? The Master?
Actually, Doctor, it was me, the Reza.
But why?
I am the leader of a peculiar life form which is divided into two warring tribes. And it's my job to try and keep them all happy. And in the end, splitting the whole of reality in two was the only practical option.
But you don't understand. The two realities cannot remain separate. And when they merge again, it will instantly vaporize all life on Earth.
Compared to most of the Brexit forecasts, that sounds quite positive.
Southgate here. Please leave a message.
Hi there, penalty-winning loser. It's the Donald. Calling for Gary Southport. I saw on Fox News that you're making England great again. So great. It was me who saved that last goal, by the way. I save all the very best goals. I'm such a great goal preventer. And hey, your team know how to build a great wall. One question, though. Did Putin set your victory up the same way he did mine? What a great guy. Speak to you later, South Gareth Gates.
Previously on Love Island, we pushed Danny to the edge.
I don't want to mug Jack off, right? But really, if he's going to mug me off, then honestly, I'm going to mug him off harder. Do you know what I mean?
Tonight. If you thought 650 Ofcom complaints about causing our mental distress would stop us, you thought wrong.
Guys, I've got a text. Oh my God, you need to win the next challenge. If you ever want to see your dog alive again. Whoa! Mate, this is so stressful. I really need to chill out with a dip in the pool. There's sharks in the pool!
Let's see if Danny gets uncoupled from her left arm.
Oh, I'm obviously not happy with the sharks, but I'll be polite to them, do you know what I mean?
There's a surprise new arrival in the villa, anthrax, because Love Island has gone rogue and no one can stop us.
That is where you're wrong, you massive slag. Nobody messes with Danny Dyer, by which I mean my daughter. Love Island, you are a chuff, Muppet. Sorted, end of.
Hello, you've reached the voicemail of Jacob Rees-Mogg. I'm busy hiding in the pantry because I can't go out in this hot weather in case my resting body temperature exceeds 5 degrees. Leave a message.
Yo, Moggy Moo, it's Goovy Goovy here. Look, now, I don't want to stir the pot or anything, but, like, I can't believe Teresa didn't invite you to the sleepover at Checkers. That was, like, so out of order. I stood up for you, and I told her she had to invite you, and she was all like, no, he's not even in the cabinet. And I was like, oh, my God, that's so rude. He's still a person, though, you know. And she, like, totally didn't agree. Anyway, I don't even think it's going to be that much fun, to be honest. It's just going to be like watching The Princess Diaries, and we'll paint our nails and eat Ben and Jerry's. Boris is bringing Twister, and like we're going to sort out this whole Brexit thing with a game of fortune teller. Sorted. Anyway, so sorry again that you're not invited. You must feel so left out. I'll make sure to put Teresa's hand in some warm water while she's sleeping. That'll teach her. Don't tell anybody I told you. Bye.
Welcome to Good Morning Britain. I'm Susanna...
And I'm Piers Morgan. Welcome to the show where Susanna asks guests nuanced questions and I shout over her and ask, why can't I say tranny?
And I roll my eyes disapprovingly while being wholly complicit in this repugnant shit show.
Now, don't know if you saw last week, but we did Good Morning Britain in the evening and called it Good evening, Britain. Very clever. All my idea.
I emailed it to you, Piers.
Computers are for millennials and the Chinese. We were joined by Pamela Anderson, Danny Dyer, Jeremy Corbyn, David Ginola and Andy Peters behind the bar at Coronation Street.
Just add Jane Middlemiss and you've won trashy 90s bingo.
Okay, time we talk Wimbledon.
Yes, and the
No, Susanna, I use the term we rhetorically. Andy Murray out in the first round. What a miserable, Eeyore-voiced, wet-panted little mummy's boy letting us down once again.
No, Piers, he didn't go out in the first round. He got a serious injury and we wish him all the best. There's literally nothing boorish or demeaning to say.
Oh, what the hell am I doing here then? Join us tomorrow as I make Breakfast TV feel like being cornered on the bus by that bloke who drinks Monster Energy at 6 a.m.
And I stare dead-eyed into camera, mentally repeating the mantra, £500,000 a year.
BBC Radio 4. And now time for the Radio 4 Appeal with Dame Judi Dench.
For many of us, summer is a happy season with so much to bring families closer together. But for some, these are desperate times. Lonely and isolated, they float in the margins of society. I'm talking, of course, about the people who don't like sport. Yes, there are people who really don't care about the World Cup, penalties, or whether someone called Andy Murray can't play tennis this year. Please spare a thought for them and give them a few words. Just 4 or 5 words that aren't about sport can make a difference. Like, how's your mother keeping? Or, how is your Toby settling in at the new school? Every non-sport-related word can help them feel less like the wretched, freakish outcasts they are. A word of warning, though, don't talk to them about Love Island. That could send them right over the edge. Thank you.
Hello and welcome to Pearson on Sunday, where I take the big issues and flail my limbs at them like a big windmill. I'm joined by the Prime Minister, Theresa May.
Hello, Robert.
Prime Minister, you're meeting the Cabinet at Chequers to discuss a third post-Brexit model after the last two failed. We've had the Norway model, the Canadian model. It's almost like you're coming up with them at random.
That's exactly what I'm doing. Which is why I've asked for Brexit ideas from Gavin Williamson's Siri. OK, Siri, go.
You will have a hard Brexit with no customs union and Northern Ireland becomes France.
You can't base Brexit on made-up nonsense.
It hasn't stopped us so far, Robert. Let's try another one.
You will have a soft border and leave the single market, but everyone must wear sombreros.
Something's obviously gone wrong.
Did you say play Elton John?
No, no.
FaceTiming Jean-Claude Juncker.
Siri, just tell me a way I can fix things. Please.
Your search returns 0 results.
Even Siri's turned against me.
So what now, Prime Minister?
But it's all right. I've appointed a new person to the Cabinet. Alexa, sort out this mess for me.
I resign.
Southguy here. Leave a message.
Gareth, it's Ozzy here. Keep it going, mate. Keep it up. You got me buzzing. Even when I was on the gear like big time, I never hallucinated anything as wild as England winning a penalty shootout. Rock and roll!
You're listening to The World at One with me, Sarah Montague. In case you're wondering, yes, since I quit today, I have been absolutely caning it every night. In news today, there's a nationwide lack of CO2, which is leading to shortages of chicken, pork, crumpets, beer and...
No, let me drink.
Mr Farage, I don't believe we booked you for...
This is an emergency. I have just been down the Dog and Duck, and you know what they said? There's no beer. Here's a pint of shower gel. Turns out it was pineapple juice, but that's basically the same thing. And now, no pork because of the CO2. What are we going to do without our carbonated pigs? What's it coming to when an Englishman can't enjoy a pint of London Pride and a fizzy sausage?
Yes, due to factory closures, there's now talk of the gas being imported from abroad.
Oh, yes, Britain in hock to Europe. That's where Juncker wants us, crouching in a pigsty, breathing into a sandwich bag. He's trying to starve the UK of our beloved Tizer and gassy chicken. The one decent thing to come out of this is that it debunks the lefty myth of climate change. We've been told for years that there's too much CO2, but if there's so much floating around, why did I just have to knock a woman to the ground to get a soda stream? Do you know what this is?
A ladle?
Wrong, it's a ladle. But not just any ladle, it's a space ladle. I'm going to jolly well stick this ladle on the end of an extendable rod and scoop down the CO2 that's rightfully ours. It's probably being overfished by Iceland anyway, and it's no good. I'm so thirsty.
Have this.
What is it?
It's water.
Water? Well, I'll try it. it's no good. System rejecting it. Somebody get me my pork-scratching EpiPen. Quick.
You're back with Today. There have been calls for Works and Pensions Minister Esther McVeigh to resign for lying to Parliament. She joins me now.
Nick, all I did was tell the House the National Audit Office had said universal credit was really great, when what they actually said was that it was an unmitigated disaster. It was just a slip of the tongue.
Minister, it does sound like a barefaced lie.
I have always prided myself on my honesty, even before I entered Parliament during my career as a TV presenter, when I hosted such shows as The Generation Game and Who Wants to Be a Millionaire?
Wasn't that Chris Tarrant?
Are you doubting my word, Nick? The word of the first woman to climb Everest solo. The winner of 3 gold medals at the Beijing Olympics. A Nobel Prize laureate.
Minister, isn't the fact that you are a compulsive liar?
You take that back, or I'll turn my annoyingly screechy voice all the way up to fingernails being scraped down the blackboard and then onto full Dalek. Any more questions, Nick?
That moment you reached the summit of Everest must have felt incredible.
Southgate here. Please leave a message.
Gareth, it's Bozza here, on behalf of the Foreign Office, wishing you all the best of luck for Saturday. I've been on the phone to Stockholm to big up our chances to my counterpart, and the Swedish chef did not like it one little bit.
Dead Ringers was performed by Josh Berry, John Colshaw, Jan Ravens and Deborah Stevenson. The writers were Nev Fountain and Tom Jameson, Lawrence Howes, Ed Amsden and Tom Coles, Sarah Campbell, James Bug, Max Davis, Sarah Doran and Alex Hardy. It was a BBC Studios production, and the producer and creator was Bill Dare.